Chapter 26. Sunday, 11:53 a.m. Jimmy climbed down from the ladder leading from the hayloft to the outside of the barn, sweat dripping from his face. It wasn't just the sweltering temperatures in the barn or the exertion of carrying the buckets filled with squirming reptiles that had hijacked his heart rate and made his breath heave from his chest. Ashley's cries haunted him. When she called out for her father, he had almost broken. He glanced at his watch. The books said it would take hours, maybe even days, to shatter her will. But it had only been 6 minutes and 27 seconds. He wiped tears and sweat from his cheeks, glanced at the closed barn doors behind him. He couldn't take it, couldn't bear the thought of her in pain for any longer. "I'm coming, sweetheart," he sang out as he sprinted for the farmhouse, even though he knew she couldn't hear him. "I'm coming." It only took him a few minutes to finish his preparations. The last thing he did before leaving the house was to take one last look at the monitor. Ashley lay absolutely still, the black forms of the snakes slithering over her body. Her eyes were open, not blinking, her face blank. It's all right. She'd been so strong, so brave. She was worthy of his love, had earned it. It's all over now. His phone rang. Damn. Work. He frowned, considering, staring at her image on the screen. Just a little while longer. I promise. Jimmy kissed his fingers, placed them on the screen. He grabbed his car keys and ran. Lucy called Bobby Fagley while they were en route and filled him in on her theory. He seemed excited by the prospect of being able to help. When they arrived at his house, his father met them at the door and led them to Bobby's room, where he was feverishly working already. "Nice setup," Taylor whistled in appreciation as he opened up his laptop and joined Bobby. "I bet I've got some toys you'll like." They started talking cyber gibberish, interrupting each other at a fever pitch. Lucy let them go at it a few minutes, watching the large monitor flow from one website to another, trying to track the creator of Shadow World. "Why is it so hard to find? I thought these guys thrived on attention," she said, standing behind the two. Bobby's neck muscles bulged with tension, and she hoped she hadn't made a mistake involving him. But no one knew the game, or Ashley as well. "Isn't creating a successful game their idea of fame?" "For most," Taylor answered her. Bobby remained silent, jaws gritting together, sweat beating his forehead. "But some prefer the idea of becoming cult figures, like superheroes. They shield themselves in secret identity." "Is that what this guy has done? This maestro?" "No." Bobby scratched out the single, terse syllable. "No. He's hiding." "Don't worry, Draco," Taylor said, already finding a nickname for Bobby, as he did for everyone. Except Walden, Lucy had noticed. Walden was Walden to everyone, even the overeager Taylor. "He can't hide from me. Not for long." "Could you tell me if it's Tardif?" she asked, anxious for some shred of evidence to lead them to Ashley. "No, it doesn't work that way," Taylor said. He paused, searching for words to explain the realm of cyberspace to a Luddite. She waved him back to work and resumed her pacing, calling Walden as she did. "Any sign of Tardif?" "No. PBP talked their way into his room, and it was cleared out. He'd only rented it for the week, so today would have been checkout. Maybe he's gone home." "Maybe. Or maybe he'd gone to wherever Ashley was. Tell the New York office to put some eyes on his place. I'm going to talk to Melissa, see what's really going on." She'd rather go in person, but she didn't want to leave Taylor and Bobby. It felt like if she was going to catch a break in this case, it would be through the same route the maestro used to catch Ashley. Shadow World. She called the sheriff's detail, asked them to put her on a private line with Melissa. "I need the truth about John Tardif." Melissa coughed, and Lucy could almost see the former model's hand going to her throat. "I already told Melissa. I know he's been in town all week." It's not what you think. He had nothing to do with Ashley.
So she never saw him?
Melissa's sob whined through the phone.
Of course she saw him. He was here to ask me to marry him.
Hell, that could change everything. If Ashley stood in the way of Tardif getting the woman he'd wanted for years.
What happened?
What do you think happened? Ashley threw a fit, said she wasn't leaving Pittsburgh, that she'd go live with her father.
But she couldn't, could she?
No, Gerald refused to have her. Said he has his own life to live.
Bitterness flooded her words.
And John can't leave his work, move here.
What did you decide, Melissa?
Who did you pick?
A long pause, the only sound the other woman's breathing.
I told John we'd have to wait until Ashley was grown and on her own.
I chose my daughter.
Shit, shit, shit. Why the hell didn't you tell me before? I couldn't let you think. John didn't have anything to do with this. He couldn't.
Give me his number. The one you use. The private one.
How'd you know?
Because they weren't stupid and Tardif's registered cell hadn't been used recently.
Lucy didn't bother to explain. Instead, she took the number Melissa gave her.
Then she told the deputy with Melissa to keep Melissa away from the phones until further notice.
She turned to Taylor.
Looks like we might have our man.
He pivoted away from his computer.
No shit! That's great! What you gonna do?
First, let's see where he is. Can you ask the guys to track this cell?
Taylor interfaced with the H-Tech guys better than she could, spoke the same language.
He got on the phone, gibbering away eagerly.
Bobby kept pounding the keys on his computer. His body was shaking, covered with sweat.
Lucy crouched down until she was at eye level and laid her hand over his. It fluttered like a butterfly trapped in a mason jar. He wrenched his gaze away from the computer and stared at her.
Do you need a break?
Maybe this wasn't a good idea.
His jaw clenched with determination.
No, I'm fine. Sometimes when I get a strong feeling about something, my body overreacts.
He grimaced in embarrassment. Part of the nerves and reflexes being all tangled up.
I know how that feels, and I don't have any excuses.
Can I show you something my husband taught me?
He's a psychologist, deals with soldiers and other people with a lot of stress.
You mean like guys who've been blown up, lost their legs and stuff?
Right.
Now, close your eyes for a second and focus on your breathing.
She kept her voice calm and steady, a close approximation to Nick's, and led him through a quick, deep breathing exercise.
Cube breathing, Nick called it.
It worked when you can take a moment and concentrate on it.
Only problem was that Lucy never seemed to be able to find the time to do that when she felt most stressed.
Like before she blew up at her husband outside her daughter's hospital room. As Bobby took deep, soothing breaths, she massaged his hand between both of hers, stroking the pressure points Nick had showed her. She felt her own tension retreat as she guided Bobby.
It felt good to drop the weight from her shoulders, to unclamp her jaws.
He opened his eyes, now clear, his face relaxed, the sweat and trembling gone.
Thanks.
No problem. She rotated her neck, producing some loud cracks, and stood again.
We really appreciate your help finding Ashley. She's very lucky to have you as a friend.
Got him, Taylor exclaimed, snapping his phone shut. He's on I-80 headed east. The state police just pulled him over.
Is Ashley with him?
He shook his head.
No, the car was empty except for Tardif. They're bringing him back here for questioning.
Lucy blew her breath out. The tippany in her ears had returned.
Okay, back to work on tracking her through the game.
You do know that we may never get a link to a physical location, he asked. This is virtual reality.
Right now, it's the only thing I've got.
The only thing Ashley had. She closed her eyes as the men turned their backs to her. Had she fucked up again? Lost Ashley because she hadn't twigged to Tardif sooner?
Hey, Draco, Taylor said, totally lost in Cyberland once more.
Look at this. What if we tracked back from here?
Both men began working their machines as if they were racing for a prize. Lucy had no choice but to wait. 20 minutes later, Taylor's phone rang and he jerked back, shaking his head as if surprised to find himself in the real world. He grabbed it.
Yeah? No shit!
Okay, keep working. He hung up and turned to Lucy.
The H-Tech guys discovered the origin of the program that wiped Ashley's computer. It's one of ours.
Ours as in government?
Ours as in Homeland Security. Specifically, ATF, FBI, and ICE.
An electrical shock tingled along Lucy's nerve endings. She began to pace the room, her hands bunching into fists, then opening again in time with her steps.
Does Tardif have any government connections?
Taylor shook his head.
No. I ran his life under a microscope. No way he could have gotten that program on his own.
So either he's not our guy, or he had an accomplice. She thought hard. If Tardif's motive was to marry Melissa, why would he create Shadow World, use it to trap Ashley? Surely there's easier ways to take care of a surly teenager, the easiest involving a shallow grave, but she didn't want to think about that.
The whole thing doesn't make sense. How could Tardif have predicted that Ashley would even want to play Shadow World?
Taylor asked.
Maybe it's a chicken and egg thing, Bobby chimed in.
Lucy stopped, considered. Bobby's words tickled her, an itch that couldn't be scratched. He was on the right track, she was certain.
So our guy isn't Tardif.
Taylor's disappointment colored his voice, as if he'd been personally insulted by their lack of progress.
We're back to ground zero?
No, not quite. We know a hell of a lot more than we did yesterday. Our guy has to be local to have planned out the tasty treat meet, she said, thinking out loud. Computer skills, enough to build Shadow World and cover his tracks. He's a white male, mid-20s to late-30s, never married, probably no long-term relationship except with his mother. Might even still live with his mother. He's not a pedophile.
He's not?
Taylor asked, his gaze never leaving his screen.
I thought these guys were all pedophiles.
Not this one. He's looking for someone he can control easily. A woman he can mold to his needs. That means a younger woman, emotionally immature. He wants a long-term relationship. He's not driven by a sexual obsession with youth. He's more like Frankenstein, trying to create the perfect mate.
So the game, Shadow World, was his hunting ground?
Bobby put in. She hesitated. It was total speculation. Far-fetched speculation at that. She should call Nick, get his professional opinion. Facts rather than fantasy. But she didn't want to distract him from Megan. Guilt stabbed through her at the thought of Megan alone in the hospital. What if Nick was right? She was just transferring her fears about keeping Megan safe onto her job. If so, she might be condemning Ashley, wasting time chasing a shadow. No. This felt too right. She felt close to this actor. She knew him. What he wanted. How he thought. Bobby's right. He created Shadow World to test his subjects. It's his honey trap, she continued, waiting for the men to contradict her theory. But instead, they both nodded, even though their eyes never left the computer screens. Probably invited them into private discussions, learned as much as he could about them, then he'd groom them, see how far he could manipulate them, how pliable they were.
Like seeing if they'd sacrifice their best friend if he asked them to?
Bobby asked.
Even that.
I think you were a real obstacle to him. Ashley thought it was you she was meeting on Friday, not him.
Me?
But we haven't talked in like a month. How hard would it be for him to monitor your conversations? Learn everything he needed to know about you.
The online stuff, that'd be easy.
A lot were in the Shadow World chat rooms, at first anyway.
I'll bet he inserted a Trojan horse into Ashley's computer, Taylor said.
He'd be able to monitor every keystroke she typed.
He'd know her passwords, everything.
Bobby's eyes narrowed in anger. That son of a bitch. He cut me off from Ashley. Probably pretended to be me. Told her I had a new phone number or email address. Sucked her right in.
He's been watching her for a long time. Would know everything about her, Taylor said.
Watching her. Lucy was close. There was something slippery just beyond her grasp. Monitoring her.
She made another circuit of the room.
Can you tell me if he accessed the webcam on her computer? Traced the video feed or whatever you call it?
No. This guy has his own servers set up. That's why it's so hard for us to trace him through the game. He doesn't use a third-party host.
Another dead end. But she was certain this guy would be watching Ashley, from a distance at first. His goal was to create a long-term relationship. He chose his partner carefully.
So, we have a white guy, computer-savvy, Pittsburgh area, and he has access to Homeland Security computer programs.
She shook her head.
That could still be dozens, maybe even 100 or more men.
At Quantico, they told us some serial killers try to insert themselves into the investigation, to feel powerful, smarter than we are, Taylor said.
She stopped at the far end of the room, holding her body still as energy surged through it, feeling as if she leaned over the edge of a precipice, with precious little to hang on to.
No, he doesn't care about us. He cares about Ashley. He'll do whatever it takes to protect their relationship. If he gets involved with us, it'll be to sabotage the case, throw us off track.
She feathered her fingers over the base of her throat. She thought through every person connected with the case. Hated to think it could be someone on her team, right under her nose, someone she trusted. Then she stopped short. She knew where she was going. It had been right in front of her, but took time to take a deep breath in, let it out again before she condemned a man. After all, she had no proof. Just what Nick would call one of her niggly feelings.
If I gave you a name, could you see if the scrubber program came from him? She asked Taylor, reluctant to voice her suspicions.
But the more she thought about it, the more certain she was.
No, but I can check to see if he's used or downloaded the same version of the program. He'd have to download it from one of our computers and then transfer it.
He squinted at her.
Who do you think it is?
Lucy blew her breath out, as if preparing for a leap off the high dive.
Fletcher.
No way, Taylor said. That guy's an idiot.
It's him. I know it. She grabbed her phone.
You find me proof.